All right, so we're starting on page 97 tonight. The only choice is where. The truth is that all thought rises out of the sense of I, or because of the sense of I, as a correction to this thought. So if I'm thinking, let's say a thought comes into my mind that I don't like a certain person. Well, that's obviously an I thought, right? I don't like a certain person, right? But then let's say the next thought that comes into the mind is, something very, very subtle reminding me to let that go, to let that thought go, reminding me of my purpose, reminding me to let that go. The second thought would be what A Course in Miracles students call Holy Spirit. But what this is saying is that second thought is also because of the sense of I. It's a correction, but there wouldn't have to be a thought to let something go if something didn't occur first to let go, right? There wouldn't have to be a thought to accept something if there wasn't first a thought of resistance. There wouldn't have to be a thought, what other kinds of Holy Spirit thoughts do we have? There wouldn't have to be a thought to forgive myself if I did not first judge myself, right? Yeah, so this is saying that all thoughts really are because of the sense of I. Some of them come to reinforce the sense of I, and some of them come to correct, right? But none of them would be needed if there wasn't this sense of I. So the truth is that all thought rises out of the sense of I or because of I as a correction to this thought. The state of true being precedes thought. Therefore, it is before thought, beyond thought, and after thought. It is no thought. And it scares you, seems to be death or nothingness to you, because you are identified with thought. That's kind of vaguely reminding me of an experience I had in meditation. Sometimes I have experiences in meditation, but when I come out of meditation, I don't fully remember them, just like you don't fully remember a dream. But I do remember being in meditation recently, maybe even as recently as this morning, and really, really looking at the attachment to mind in a very, very, very deep way and noticing just how firm that attachment is and also noticing that it doesn't have to be. And this really is saying in a different set of words that the reason that that attachment is so strong is because we are scared of breaking that attachment to mind. Because we really still think it's us. You know, who am I without the mind? Right? And that's probably, very similar to what I was looking at in meditation, although I didn't notice fear. In meditation, I was just really noticing, wow, that's still so, that connection to mind is still so strong. I don't have a real clear memory of it now. Like I said, it's kind of like a dream. But I do remember that I was really, really looking at it. So the state of true being precedes thought. Therefore, it is before thought, beyond thought, and after thought. It is no thought. And it scares you, seems to be death or nothingness to you, because you are identified with thought. This is why people struggle against this idea so much. They believe the idea, I think, therefore I am, which would mean that not to think would be to cease to exist. But this is not true. Thought springs forth from existence. Existence is the birthplace of thought. Existence is not dependent on thought, and it never has been. Now, this is where I really start loving this message, and I think you'll see why, with this next paragraph and on. The idea, I decide, is an error. You choose to engage in the belief in thought, or you choose to observe thought without being engaged, or you choose to abide in self completely and leave thought behind. but you do not decide what the thought will be. So what this is telling us is through the process that we learned about in Ephesians, really, all the way back in NCI when we were studying Ephesians, we learned that if a thought comes into the mind, and that if we believe that thought, the energy of that thought goes back out into the world, it paints the world, but it also in some way comes back to me, right? And that this constant recycling of thought is both what's creating the world, and it's also how my thoughts come. So we have the idea that we're thinking. But in the Course, Jesus says, you think, right? Which means we're not really thinking. We aren't really thinking. What we are doing, whether we're aware of it or not, is being and casting attention. We be and we cast attention. That's all we do. And so we're being. And a thought comes into the mind, oh, I don't like her because, and we cast attention on it, and then we think it's our thought, and we start feeling the emotions of it and all of that. But we didn't really think that thought. We received that thought, and we gave it our attention, and then it seemed to be our thought. If the same idea came into the mind, I don't like her because, and there was just like no interest in it, the thought would just disappear and be forgotten so quickly.
So it's almost like it floats there and some you latch onto it or can't.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Or you, some you don't.
In fact, now that you say that, that was also in a recent meditation. I remember that. I remember being deep in meditation and realizing that because of our believing makeup, because of what our conditioning and what we believe, who we think we are, what our values are, and all of that, we actually attract some of those thoughts. You know, we're like little magnets to them, right? And so they come in.
I've often thought of that, and I said to myself, you know, like, where are all these, if they're not my thoughts, where are they coming from? And now that you tell me, you know, it's a recycling. That's where it comes from, because everybody's recycling. But that was the one thing I couldn't figure out. If they're not mine, where are they coming from? That they're out there, and I reach around and everything.
Yeah.
But now,
yeah, and we do. We kind of attract them because we're like a little magnet for thoughts that are like our beliefs, our tendencies, our conditioning, our habits. And I have in meditation also a few times, not a lot, but a few times, I have now received thoughts that were not mine.
Yeah.
Have you done that? It's so bizarre.
There's a in the magic of complete abstinence. Addiction recovery is that they're not your thoughts.
Yeah, they're not your
thoughts. It's like very, very strange, but yeah. If you're having a thought about that, the same thought, how can I say it's my thought?
Yeah. Well, when I say I've received thoughts that weren't mine, what I mean is they didn't belong to this personality in any way. Like, it's hard for me to make them up now because I was so deep in meditation I don't remember them, but it might be something like, George, did you feed the cat this morning? And like, I've never had a cat, and I don't know a George. I mean, I have picked up thoughts that were just like, they had nothing to do with this personality.
Previous life or something?
Or I always just perceive them as
between AM and FM.
Yeah, between AM and FM. That's exactly it. Like, I was picked up from a different frequency. So the thoughts are not really ours. But we can attract them, we can cast our attention on them, we believe them, right?
They're usually the energy that we have. The same type of energy comes to us.
Like if you are fearful,
if you're fearful,
you'll get lots of fearful thoughts. If you're negative, you'll get lots of negative thoughts.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it fits your makeup. So looking at this paragraph again, the idea I decide, meaning I think, I decide what I'm going to think, right? The idea I decide is an error. You choose to engage in the belief in thought, or you choose to observe thought without being engaged, or you choose to abide in self completely and leave thought behind, but you do not decide what the thought will be. Your choice is where, but not what. what is already in motion, but where you shall be while what is doing its thing is completely up to you, because the states of awareness are always available, always there for your choosing, no matter what is in the current moment. And so what this is saying, again, because of how this whole script works of us believing thoughts, we send them out, and then something very similar comes back, and this whole looped process is like a script, or some people call it karma, right? Because of the way this script works, you know, this thought is going to come in, you know, I don't like her because, you know, because I've attracted it based on my previous believing, right? But when it's coming in now, I don't have to believe it now. I can't stop the thought from coming. This is what people think. They think they should be able to keep the thought out.
Yeah.
I can't stop the thought from coming, but when the thought comes, I can decide where I'm going to be. Am I going to be engrossed in that thought, believing it? Am I going to stay back and just observe it? Or am I going to go even further back and watch awareness and not even pay attention to the thought? See, I can't stop the thought from showing up, but I can choose where I'm going to be. Yeah. The next paragraph. This is why knowing your heart is your only business. You do not decide what. So there is nothing about what that must be decided. You only choose where to be as what occurs. And where you want to be is not a question. You know where you want to be. Choose to be there. And you have complete alignment of will. So again, stay in harmony with your true desire. Remain the observer. Remain aware of awareness. Remain in the heart, however you want to word that. Be aware that the only choice is where, and make that choice in the moment according to the decision of the heart. So no matter what thoughts are coming in, we can choose to do that. Especially if we recognize that we're not thinking those thoughts. These thoughts are coming in, right? And then you can just choose where you want to be. And I had the funniest day yesterday because, was it yesterday? I think it was, yes, it was yesterday. And I made a financial mistake just because I'm an idiot financially. And what I did, I had a little bit of money, and I thought, well, I'll throw this money into my retirement account. In fact, Ron actually asked me to. That's where the idea came. He said, you should just put that money in your retirement account. So I was like, okay. I was kind of surrendering to him. So when I went to put the, you know, I don't usually put money in my retirement account, so I don't usually have money. So when I went to put the money in my retirement account, I had a choice of whether I wanted to call it 2015 IRA or 2016. I thought, oh, you know, it was January of this year. I thought, oh, I'll call it 2015. So I put it in 2015 and then later learned that that money was tax deductible. And I'd already done my 2015 taxes. And so I'd already done my taxes, and I put this money in my retirement account for 2015 and now couldn't deduct it. But my response to that was that I laughed.
Oh.
I laughed. I just laughed. I just thought, that's so funny. And then the idea came, oh, maybe I wonder if Fidelity could change that. And so I called them up. And I said, hey, here's what I did. I said, can you fix that? And he's like, yeah, I can fix that. You know, and then I just laughed again. And I changed it. And when I hung up the phone, I was laughing again. And, you know, I thought, you know, there was a time when something like this would have really worried me. I would have been afraid that I really screwed something up. And instead, I didn't care at all how it turned out. It's great that it turned out that he was able to put it in 2016. But I would have been fine if he wasn't. I just thought the whole thing was funny. See, that's choosing where. Right? I mean, that situation happened. And that situation was going to happen whether I chose to be all worried about it, whether I chose to be judging myself, or whether I chose to laugh. The situation still happened. And I could have been worried, sick, thinking I was, you know, I really screwed up and everything until I got the idea to call, and I told somebody I was on the phone, I could have been stressed, but can you do it, you know? And still it could have still had the same outcome. He still would have changed it. But in the hour and a half between the time I discovered the mistake and he changed it, I would have been upset instead of laughing, right? So that's what this is about. You can't change the what. You can change how you're going to be with the what. That's your choice. That's your choice. So let's look at moving from resistor to abiding in self. I'm not going to read this to you because this is just me talking and I know how to talk. This isn't a message. This was me telling, there was a message that came and that message was lost, and so I just told the story of the message. So I'll tell you the story of the message. But basically what happened, I'm going to put my book down, I don't even need it. Basically what happened at the end of the Inner Ramana messages is I received a message that talked to me about three states of mind. The first state of mind is called resistor. The second state of mind is called doubter. And the third state of mind is called abiding. And the resistor is the state of mind that most people in the world are in. It's called the resistor because you're fully resisting your true self, which means you're fully in the ego. You really believe, I'm Regina, I like this and this and this, I don't like this and this and this, I hate people who do this, here's what I want in my future, if I can't get this, I'm not going to be happy, this will make me very happy. Just that whole thing, you fully believe, you think that's who you are. That's the resistor. Now the doubter, which is the second state of mind, is actually when you're starting to awaken. There's two things that happen when you're in the doubter phase. One, you're starting to hear truths. You know, usually from a book or from a teacher or like from your book of poems, you read it and something in you recognizes truth. You're getting these internal confirmations, but you don't know that wisdom is your wisdom yet. You don't know that resides in you, all that wisdom. You think you have to read books or you have to listen to teachers. So you're beginning to recognize wisdom, but you still doubt that it's yours. So you're the doubter, right? The other thing that's happening in the doubter phase is you are now beginning to question, am I really this person I always thought I was? Are these values really my values? Are these thoughts really my thoughts? You know, you're starting to question all that. So you're really kind of doubting in two directions. You're recognizing wisdom, but doubting that you have that same wisdom. And you're starting to doubt everything you ever believed about yourself. So the doubting phase is the phase of the spiritual path. And it's kind of like a bridge. You know, you cross from resistor all the way over to abiding by doubting, right? And of course, on this end, you're doubting wisdom more. On the end that's closest to resistor, you're doubting the wisdom is yours more, and you're still believing the self more heavily. Halfway through, you're kind of halfway doubting that the wisdom is yours, and halfway doubting that you're the person you always thought you were. When you get to the end of the bridge, you're now starting to accept the wisdom is yours, only a little bit of doubt left. But you're totally doubting that you're the person. So that doubting kind of shifts as you go across the bridge. There comes a point, though, where you're ready to step off of the bridge. And when you step off of the bridge, this is when you are willing to accept that the wisdom is yours. It's always available. You don't have any more questions. You don't need any more teachers. Yeah. You don't need any more books. It doesn't mean you won't read them just for fun.
Yeah, that's true.
But you don't need them anymore, right?
That is true. If anyone else says what you just said, then internal confirmation.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know the wisdom is yours, and you know it will always be there when you need it. And so you can step off of the doubter bridge onto the shore of abiding. And now you can just abide as your true self. And you can access that inner wisdom at any time, always know what to say, what to do, etc., etc. You don't need anything anymore. You can be free. So those are the three states of mind. Resistor is where we start. Doubter is the bridge. And then abiding is when we get off of the bridge. So with that, let's go to the last message. That's kind of the introduction to the very last message. And the very last message is on page, how come I can't find it, it's like my pages are stuck together, page 103. This is called the missing Ramana message or the missing Ramana message because I literally found this message just before the book went to print. It had been, it turned up late. So here's this very last message. The thinking that you are the self, meaning the false self, keeps you in a position of asking me questions. When this thinking is dead, questioning will be no more. For knowledge is abundant, and you shall abide within abundant knowledge. So what he's pointing to here is, it's about time to get off this bridge. It's about time to stop being the doubter. Stop thinking of your questions. I mean, if you look at this book, you know, I asked questions like, what do I do with all of this resistance? And what he's saying is, you know what? Just ask yourself. You have this knowledge inside of you. You don't need to keep asking a me. You know, it's like you're talking to someone else. Who are you talking to? And think about it. Who was I talking to? Right? Wasn't I just sitting there alone on the sofa? If I could ask an inner Ramana, what do I do with this resistance? Can't I just kind of turn that question inward and know without having to feel that I'm talking to an other? Right? So again, he's saying this thinking that you are the self keeps you in the position of asking, you could say, a me questions. When this thinking is dead, the thinking that you are a self, questioning will also be no more. For knowledge is abundant, and you shall abide within abundant knowledge. The doubter who asks and the resistor who does not ask are merely illusions of yourself. Projections from a mind that does not know. And the reason he says the doubter does not ask, well, the resistor will ask, what do I do with this resistance? What do I do with my resistance to surrender? You know, the doubter is surrendered enough to ask an inner teacher or an outer teacher, but does the resistor ask? No, they think they know everything, right? They don't ask anybody. So both the doubter who is humble enough to ask and the resistor who is not yet humble enough to ask, both of them are illusions. Neither one is what you are, right? You're actually the one giving the answers. That's who you are. Both of these are illusions. The ones that act like they don't know, even though it thinks it knows, the resistors, but it doesn't know wisdom at all. Anything that doesn't fully know wisdom is an illusion because you are the wisdom. You are that wisdom. He says, who asks questions and who answers them and which one must be real, the questioner or the wise one who answers? So think about this. If I'm sitting alone with myself on the sofa and I ask this question, what am I to do with all this resistance? And then this information comes that resistance is like shouting into a cave and you're going to get an echo and it's going to come back as resistance again. And what you need to do is stop shouting in the cave. If the wisdom comes, there was a questioner and an answer, which one has to be real? Is the one who asked the question and didn't know more real or the one who knew the answer? The one who knew the answer. Mm-hmm. So that wise one is the truth of who I am and the truth of who you are. Resistance to asking, or the I know mind, this is the resistor, is merely a cover over the mind that is forgetfulness. Therefore, asking, or the state of doubting one's self, is closer to realization than the total ignoring of self. But one must put aside the doubter by resting in self and being in self. In this state, there are no questions because you and self are one. So again, he's saying the doubter is closer to awakening than the resistor, but you can't stay a doubter for the rest of your life. The doubter doubts who he is, and so he questions. He questions as if he is another and somehow not his self. The shift from doubting to realizing occurs through resting in self beyond doubting. Come without questions and simply be. And that's the end of the book. So what he's really asking us to do at the end of the book is to step off the bridge into abiding and just trust that you will know what you are to know in every moment and stop thinking that you won't. Trust your inner self. It is there. It is present. So that is the end of the teachings of Inner Ramana. And as you guys know, I've been with you through all of NTI and now all of Inner Ramana. And this is our last session together. So on the recording, I want to say thank you. In a moment, I'll stop the recording and we'll have our moment of silence followed by cookies.
Can I get a shout out?
Huh? Can I get a shout out?
Can you get
a what? Shout out. A shout out? Yeah. What do you mean by shout out? Like say, hey, so Dan, thank you.
And all my friends over on the web. Yes,
all your friends.
You know, we're being recorded.
Yeah. Well, I am sitting here with Priscilla and Dan, who have been here from the very beginning. Francine is also here, who moved here in the middle, has been with us since then. But Priscilla and Dan have been here since the very first meeting. So thank you, you guys, for hanging in there.
Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not BSing back here at all. NTI is better than winning the lottery. Before it's all over, someone else might say that too. It's an easy one because winning the lottery, which is not, it's not always the best thing for some people. But that's in one sentence, that's the captures the. It's better than winning the
lottery. Thank you. All right, well, why don't I stop the recording? We'll have a few moments of silence, and then, like I said, we'll have cookies.